Welcome to the immediate start of the real baseball season edition of Sharing Sox. I am Southside Sox duty geezer Lee Allen, and with me, my son and West Coast correspondent Will. I am wearing my, for inspiration for the team, my 2005 World Series champion shirt and my Ozzie Guillen signed hat. And, well, you can't see it, it's signed anymore because it bleached out, but it was signed by Ozzie. And Will has behind him Angel Stadium because he will be going to the game on Sunday night.
That is true. I'm coming at you live from fake Angel Stadium, but I will be coming at you with fellow Southside Soxer, Bill Mankey? Mankey? Not even exactly sure how to say his last name yet. We haven't met, but we will be attending Dylan Cease's perfect game on Sunday. Very excited.
Well, I'll tell you, Dylan Cease yesterday. Now, I can't say looked because there wasn't video, but watching StatCast, and they had full StatCast and full GameCast yesterday. It wasn't this
Nice.
single to left field, and then 3 minutes later, walk. So you had all the data, and he was firing over 98. You could watch the breaking pitches, and he was getting swings and misses. I mean, it was the best Dylan Cease ever.
I watched some of the video footage of some of the strikeouts, and holy crap, he is throwing stuff that he did not throw before. He is.
And I know you've been always a big Dylan Cease rah-rah. I have not been. I've been a doubter. I still think it's going to be on and off with him
Sure.
through the season. But to me, if he's on half the time, to me that is a huge plus for the team. That to me breaks expectations.
Well, now that we're in this weird place of our lineup being a big question mark instead of, a little more certain as it was a few weeks ago, it's making Cease and Rodon far more important than they even were before. And fortunately for us, they are trending in the right direction.
They have the guys who have been the weakest in the spring really have been Keuchel and Lynn. And not that they've been terrible or anything. They just have been for them.
Yeah, I mean the Dane Dunning trade is looking worse and worse every single day. Just
Yeah, I mean,
because.
I think if they knew you're not going to have Eloy Jimenez in 2021, that trade does not happen.
Of course it doesn't. Yeah. Which I get not having that foresight, but also you do need to think that these things can happen, especially since Eloy gets a little excited in the field. And they were putting him out there a lot. So it's terrible foresight, but I understand still the deal in some ways. But now it's looking rough. If Dane
Yeah,
Dunning turns out to be a
Dunning had a nice spring too.
stud, he had a great spring. I mean, he's going to be a key starter in the Texas rotation. Not that that matters a lot this year, but I'm very, very interested to see what happens with him. It is really interesting, though, watching Cease and Rodon, which has far and away been the best part of spring ball for the White Sox. It's kind of
Oh, yeah.
the one thing we needed to be exciting and feel new, and it did. Yeah, they both look like totally rejuvenated pitchers. And I mean, if they're half as decent as they were in the spring, we're looking at an okay season overall. But if they come out like they were in the spring, then you're talking about having one of the best rotations along with the best bullpen in Major League Baseball.
I think you and I long, long ago, like in the fall, we were going, I think next season, what do you think? And I think we kind of were close, like an 88, 74 kind of thing. 538 came out this week, and they came out at an 85, 77. And when Eloy went down, I actually was dropping my predicates. You know, it's not going to be 88 anymore. But these guys have looked so good. I've kind of bounced back. I think Southside Talk said we have on site the predictions by all of our staff, which is like 147 people. And I kicked my chest. First with Aloy, I was going down to about that 85. And then with what season we're done, I think I did an 87. So I still think 87, 88. I don't think they're going to win the division, but they very well could.
So, okay, here's my thing about winning the division. I was just looking at the ranking of opening day pitchers that ESPN did. And they have Kenta Maeda very high. Very high on that list. Not quite at Giolito, but high. I don't understand these Twins predictions based on that, based on what they will have as their starting rotation. I think the White Sox starting rotation, if Cease and Rodon produce, is the best rotation in the Central, and it's not even close. I don't understand.
If those guys produce, yes, absolutely.
Yeah, if they produce, we already have the best bullpen, and I think that's in all of baseball. I actually think that. I think with Cody Hoyer and Bummer and Hendricks and Crochet, like, Kopech has not been looking great yet, but, you know, he hasn't played in a year and a half. So I really think that these Twins predictions are very generous.
They may be. Strangely, because what you go in, if you came out of last year and you go, boy, we can hit. We can really, really hit. Yeah, I don't know about the pitching. And now you come out of spring and you're really going, man, if we got pitching, I don't know about the hitting.
Yeah, I saw a fellow Southside Sox guy, James Fox, who we've had on the podcast. He had a great tweet yesterday that was like, boy, I did not expect to be predicting that the pitching is what's going to get us deep in the playoffs. And, you know, having Aloy go down does not deplete this offense. It definitely hurts. It hurts bad. Aloy was, I think, poised to have an insane breakout season. However, it's not.
We don't like the word break with Aloy.
True. I thought he was going to tear it up this. No, that's not good either. But I mean, you're still talking about Tim Anderson. You're still talking about Luis Robert. You're still talking about Yasmani Grandal. Still talking about Jose Abreu. Nick Madrigal for batting average. Andrew Vaughn has a lot of potential. This is still a terrifying lineup, especially if you're a left-handed pitcher.
Although, you know, you have these things this spring. And again, spring, yes. And sometimes we go, well, it's only spring, so that doesn't matter that they're doing badly like Jose and Luis. But then we turn around and go, well, they had a great spring, so that's, you know, we can't have it both ways. Either the spring mattered when it was bad and when it's good, or it didn't matter either way.
But it's the American way to think that you can have it both ways.
Which just brave. This is apropos of nothing right here, although I realized it in yesterday, watching yesterday's game. The attitude of fans as we go into another season of fandom, one of my favorite things, and it's me, I am totally guilty of this every time. If your guy swings and misses at a slider that bounces 4 feet up the first baseline, or third baseline as the case may be, you go, well, you stupid jerk, how could you have swung at that? But if your pitcher strikes out a guy on a ball that bounces 4 feet up the baseline, you're going, wow, nasty slider. That's just fandom.
As someone who would strike out on any slider ever thrown by any major leaguer at any level, I don't hate on the guys who swing at the sliders in spring training as much.
Spring training. I mean, in the regular season, you have that attitude.
Yeah,
the spring training.
Sure.
Now, yesterday's game, the setting, the greatness, I mean, of Cease was the highlight of yesterday's game. The low light was they were facing.
Can we just pause for a second and point out that you just used the phrase greatness of Cease?
I did. I mean, he was terrific.
This is a big moment for me. I actually yes. feel like all of White Sox fandom owes me an apology.
I should be sitting in a confessional for that. But the low light was they were facing a soft throwing lefty who is the number five starter on the second worst team in the National League. Maybe the second worst team in the major leagues. And the only run they produced off him was single, walk, walk, sacrifice, fly. Otherwise, he totally shut down the offense.
Okay.
And offense, it was 14-0 against lefties last year.
I get that you're upset about this, but listen to what you just said. Single, walk, walk, sacrifice.
That's two walks. That's great.
Dream scenario for the White Sox. You've been preaching this for years, and here you go. They show up, they do exactly what you want, and the next day.
Oh, yeah, no, it's true. And they had three walks and seven strikeouts. It was a perfectly acceptable ratio.
I mean,
and you hope that continues.
I get what you're saying. It was a day that they probably should have hit. That being said, this White Sox team is all energy. So the idea of spring ball amping them up at all in any way, it's just no good. And I have no fears that Abreu, Moncada, Luis, Tim, Nick, they are going to come out banging tomorrow night.
No, you didn't mention them. And this is sad because this was a very, very important preseason acquisition to make up for the loss of Aloy. You didn't mention Jake Lamb.
Correct.
Jake Lamb hits a solid 200 against righties any time. And actually, he hangs in there against lefties that way, too.
Well, to be fair, we are actually looking a little better if he hits 200
than Encarnacion
and Adam LaRoche and Adam Dunn, Yonder Alonso, John Jay. We are looking at just actually a highly productive season if we can get Lamb to hit 200. No doubt about that. Let's actually take a break real quick, and then we'll come back and talk about what this roster is going to look like tomorrow night. Tomorrow night, opening night in Anaheim. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to Sharing Sox. If you missed the first half, which I don't know how you could have done that because this is not live radio, but if you missed it, you missed my dad referring to yesterday's game and referring to the greatness of Cease. Which is 100% exactly how he should be feeling and describing Dylan's work. Dylan, come on the pod. Your number one fan. I am one Dylan Cease appearance away. And I mean appearance on this podcast. I'm one appearance away from splurging for the Dylan Cease jersey. I will not do it if you don't come on this podcast, Dylan. I will not do it. And you know no one else has one.
Well, he probably is just holding off to save you money on the expense of a jersey. He's helping out. He knows actors don't have much work these days.
That's true. That's very true, which is why the stakes are so high for me to get the jersey. Dylan's got to come on the pod. But anyway, let's talk about what this roster is going to look like. The last time we recorded, actually, Aloy was moments away from being hurt.
Yes.
So we have not talked about what this is going to look like tomorrow.
Well, and of course, Adam Engel is still out for probably at least half of April, maybe most of it, depending how things turn out with him. Presuming it's going to be Andrew Vaughn and left, and of course, Roberts and Eaton for the rest of the outfield. And, of course, Jose Madrigal, I think he was the only starter who didn't play yesterday, Tim and Yuan around the infield.
So I did see, actually, a tweet this morning that said that it is most likely Leori will start in left and Vaughn will be the DH.
Oh, okay. Now, that's with a righty throwing for the Angels. The Angels are going to then have, I think their rotation goes then two lefties, including one of my favorite players ever, except it won't be this week, Jose Quintana. And then so it'll go righty, lefty, lefty, righty, I think, for the four games that the Sox have out in Los Angeles for whatever that matters. Grandal will have a day off in there somewhere probably. He did not have great spring, but he's a low average hitter anyway. I mean, he's like a career 230 something guy.
I feel like I'm most likely to see Collins on Sunday night.
I think by that time you may see Collins, and it'd be interesting to see what happens with Zach in the regular season. He had a good spring, although Both of the backup catchers who they're keeping, Collins and Mercedes, started out totally on fire and then went kind of downhill through the spring, especially Mercedes, but Zach too. And that's going to happen because you're facing more major league pitching as you go along through spring training. The guys who are sending it to single A are gone, and then the double A ones and so on. So it'll be interesting to see what Zach can hit when it's real major league pitching all the time. I think he has improved his swing, but I think what happens that lets you get away with things in spring training when you do that is they're not making a book on you. The teams are not working on what are the opposing hitters doing. If they know you already, but if they don't, which would be the case with a Collins or a Mercedes, they don't know you. They're not bothering coming up with a great book on you. They're going to do this once the season starts and you're on a regular roster. They're going to figure it out. So if you have, say, a Collins who absolutely could not hit high heat because the swing, he was trying to hit it 500 feet and it was too big a swing and he couldn't get around. Well, now he seems to have shortened up a little, a little more control on the swing. Maybe you can hit high heat, but maybe then he can't hit sliders. No, we don't know.
Yeah.
And the opposing pitchers don't know, and it'll take a while. So for those two, if they're still both around after Engel comes back, and I don't know if that's going to be the case or not, or just Billy Hamilton will go bye-bye.
Yeah.
Or go to Schaumburg and enjoy, all the fine restaurants out there. We don't know what's going to happen with those backup catchers. I still think, and somebody, we did this thing that we mentioned with the predictions. You also had who's going to be the most valuable player on the Sox, et cetera. And I think Tim Anderson's my choice. There were Jose, there were various choices. Somebody did mention Grandel, and I think Grandel, while not the most valuable player on the team, is the most critical player on the team.
Absolutely.
Because it's very possible. Yes, Collins has gone to the one knee look. He's doing better framing, which shouldn't even be a skill. I mean, it's a shame that it is. but also, that also lets you give a better target low when you're doing that one leg spread out to the
big
side.
Time. Yeah.
What it hinders is control of base runners, and he's been about as bad as you can possibly be at that before. So they have to see whether if he goes out with the one leg, if Nelson Cruz steals on him, or whatever may happen there.
The other big factor too is because Collins is he's pretty bad behind the plate, and if you send him out there with Dylan Cease on Sunday, is that helpful at all? Because you want someone like Grandal catching someone like Cease, who is still in the process of finding that greatness, if it exists. And, Collins...
They might throw Collins out with Lynn on Saturday.
But then you've got him going up... that's a left-handed pitcher, though, they're facing. So you're probably not going to send Collins.
Oh, right.
Yeah. That's why I think Sunday is when we'll see him, because they're facing a righty.
Grandal, while a switch hitter, is actually a little better righty than lefty. He doesn't have huge splits, but he's a little better righty.
Yeah, we're going to learn a lot this week on what La Russa is going to try to make work. I am not in a position of being concerned yet. I mean, losing Aloy stinks. Of course it stinks. But I am not in panic mode yet. There are still elite baseball players on this team.
Well, we know it's going to be a good team. The question is just how good.
Yeah.
It's not going to be the 7-year drought coming back again. That's just not going to happen.
No, it's going to be the real deal. And it is going to be the pitching that will have to carry it. But, wow, we're in a great spot for that. I mean, a lot of teams would love this rotation, and pretty much every team would love this bullpen. So before we go, since we can get it on the record, NLCS prediction, ALCS prediction, World Series prediction. What do you got?
NLCS, let's go over there first. Despite the Padres' huge improvement, the Dodgers will be there. Boy, it then becomes tough for the other. I think the Padres could emerge from the wild card, and we'd have a West against West NLCS, which the Dodgers win.
Yeah, I mean, one of those two teams is going to be the wild card. It's going to be the Dodgers or the Padres because they are so loaded right now. Something has to go horribly wrong. I am going to actually, despite being in LA, I'm going to say the Padres are going to beat the Mets in the NLCS.
Yeah, well, it's certainly not an impossibility at all. The Mets are going to be very good.
And I'm excited.
So are the Braves. So they're not going to just run around with.
No, the Braves were kind of the toss up because the Braves are really stacked too. But I think Mets pitching.
That's a really good division.
It's great this year.
And of course, one thing that'll help the Sox record, but also helps the Twins and the Indians, is that once again, I don't know why it is 2 years in a row. It doesn't make any sense at all. But thank you. We have the NL Central to play, which is absolutely dismal. Cardinals will be a little better. The Brewers will be a little better. The Cubs will be worse. The Reds will be worse. And the Pirates are like at best double A team. So,
yeah. All right. So what do you got for the ALCS?
You're not going to like this.
Oh, no. That's listening. A radio guy allowing dead air is bad
time. My life in radio, and I did the very, very bad thing. Yankees are going to be one of the two teams there.
Sure.
I think, let's be optimistic and say the White Sox, I don't think they're going to win the division. I think it's a fine chance they'll win the division, but I don't think they will. I think that they will come out of the wild card, winning the wild card, and that they could then win one series, and they'll be up against the Yankees.
I agree. I think we will have White Sox Yankees on that side. I think the White Sox will prevail.
I think the Yankees will, but that's
All right, here's what I'm going to say. If the bullpen stays healthy, I think the White Sox go to the World Series.
Well, with bullpens, too, it's healthy and steady. Relievers are flaky people.
Mm-hmm.
And very fine relievers have years where they just can't do a damn thing.
Yeah.
And very mediocre relievers have years where they're suddenly super. I mean, 2005, look at the total journeyman bullpen that the Sox had in 2005, and every one of them had a career year.
Yeah, that's true. That was the magical year of taking a bunch of guys who were all right and making them great.
That's what made the rumor that Don Cooper was a genius.
Yeah.
And he earned it that year for sure. Kind of faded later, but
so you've got the Yankees and the Dodgers in the.
And I hate, you know, it's probably a matter of having grown up through the 50s with baseball when it was the Yankees and the Dodgers every year.
Yeah. So you have a network TV's dream scenario.
Yes, Yankees because the two Dodgers. Largest markets are going. Yeah.
And then I have their nightmare scenario, which is the less popular Chicago team and the Padres. I'm not going to predict who wins, but I am going to say I'm predicting a White Sox Padres World Series, which I actually now it's a less frequent prediction, but it was kind of early on a fairly common prediction for this year's.
I checked when I after 538 came out because those were the first predictions after Aloy went down.
Right.
And they're running, you know, they run thousands of computer simulations to come up with what they do. I looked at the Las Vegas betting lines. And again, the betting lines do not necessarily mean this is what they think is going to happen. It's how they think people are going to bet.
Yeah.
And that hasn't changed.
Yeah. I don't think it should at this point.
And it goes Yankees, White Sox, and I think then Twins maybe in the American League.
Well, I definitely think we are in for a very exciting season. I'm going in very hopeful, very optimistic, even more so than last year. I mean, the idea that we could have five good starters is just mind-boggling to me as a White Sox fan. to think that we won't have 3 days a week where we're dreading who's pitching. is really great. But I think that's all the time we have for today. Do you have any final comments, Geezer, before we head into the season?
Yeah, enjoy the game Sunday night.
Thank you very much. I will come back with a written piece probably after our experience, my experience with Bill, to kind of talk about what experiencing baseball in the, you know, 33% capacity quarantine situation feels like in 2021. I'm hoping it's all going to be good. And we will see you next week to dissect the first week of Major League Baseball, which I can't believe we're saying. And I could not be more pumped. So we'll see you next time on Sharing Socks.